Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study. We are studying from Roland Springs Baptist Church. And our study is in 1 Corinthians. And today we're on lesson number 10. And our lesson is about spiritual gifts. And we'll be studying chapters 12, 13, and 14. So just try to be patient and stay with me as we read and study God's Word through these three chapters, because it's all about the spiritual gifts and what God has bestowed upon us as believers, as individuals, and as members of the body of Christ. So let us pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that you give us to study your word, to learn of you, to learn about the spiritual gifts that we all have once we have received your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father, that as we study this lesson, that each of us will examine our own lives and see what the Holy Spirit has given to us, the gift that comes from God, and that we may live it out, Father, because it's to bring honor and glory to you and to edify the church. And we ask it all now in the name of Jesus. There will be a lot of scripture reading these three chapters, and I want us to be very close, attentive to the word that God has written, because it's given to Paul as he wrote it down through the Holy Spirit. And so today we are asking the Holy Spirit to teach us about the spiritual gifts that God has given. So we're going to start today. We have learned in our study so far that the book of Corinthians is divided into two segments. And the first segment is in chapter 1 through 6 that was about problems that were reported to Paul. And then chapter 7 through 16 was about things that the church at Corinth had written to Paul. So now we're looking at chapter 12. And I'll first start by reading the first three verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So here in these verses, it began the segment about spiritual gifts. And Paul says, don't be unaware. He didn't want them to be unaware of the spiritual gifts that God was giving to each one that made up the body of Christ there in the church. So he cautioned them. And what had they been like when they were unsaved pagans? They were easily led astray by mute, unspeaking idols. So Paul warned them about being led astray by people speaking spiritual sounding things. Don't be led astray when it comes to the true spirituals. So the determining factor here between those leading astray and those speaking by the Holy Spirit is what they say about Jesus, whether he is Lord or not, over their lives. So the Corinthian believers were immature, and there were factions. And before salvation, the immature believers were very easily led astray. So the same is true even now. Mature believers are to lead the immature and to be aware of what God says about spiritual things. Let's go on and read verse 4 through 6. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So what the main point of these verses is that there are varieties of gifts, ministries, effects, but they all have the same Spirit, the Lord God. So that's what Paul is saying to them in these verses. Now let's go forward and read verses 7 through 11. And we're in chapter 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So verse 6 ended in speaking about all believers. And then verse 7 goes to each one speaking of individual believers. And each believer is given a manifestation of the Spirit, a spiritual gift. That's what he said in verse 4. Manifestation is taking something and making it visible or observable to be able to see and understand it. So spiritual gifts are manifestation of the Spirit. All of these gifts are made known by the Holy Spirit. And so, verses 8 through 11 gives a variety of gifts of different individuals, but it's saying that they're all the same Spirit. So, let's just look quickly at these gifts, these spiritual gifts. First of all, he said word. They're given utterance of wisdom. Second, the word, utterance of knowledge. Third, some are given faith. Fourth, gifts of healing. Fifth, a working of miracles. Sixth, prophecy. Seven, distinguishing of spirits. Eight is kinds of tongues. And nine was interpretation of tongues. And then he relates the point in verse 11 by saying that the same Spirit works all of these spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit is the one that distributes or appropriates to each believer, just as he, the Spirit, wills and not as the individual wills. So, now let's look at verses 12 through 31, and I will read these and we'll see what else Paul is saying about the unity and the diversity in one body in these verses. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For one Spirit, by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and I have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body we think to be honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having greater honor to that part of the body which it lacks, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So we see Paul is using illustration of the physical body to compare with the body of Christ, which is the church. And there are different members with different functions, but there's one body. And all members function for the body's benefit. Now, this is speaking of the natural body. It takes all of the parts of the natural body for the body to function properly. Also, Paul is saying that it takes all the members to function together in the spiritual body, which is the body of Christ, the church. All are important and all are needed. So God placed and arranged each member in the body as he desired. Now, verse 13 teaches how this relates to the immediate context. So, by in one Spirit, all believers were baptized into one body. And this is referring to salvation. And it's when each believer drinks of one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit begins to make himself known or manifest himself in each believer's life. The body or church at Corinth was made up of Jews, Greeks, slaves, and free people. But it was one body, regardless of how different they were before salvation. that one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, made them one body in Christ Jesus. And that's what we are today as believers. We are one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in Christ, one body. And that's how that we function to edify the church. And all gifts are given for the good of the church. And the result is that there should be no division, according to verse 25. But there should be no schism or no division in the body. So let's go now and look at verses 27-31. I read these verses when I read the other verses. What did we see in these verses? Verse 11 states that the Spirit distributes or appropriates gifts to individual believers. And then verse 18 makes a similar statement about God arranging or placing the members in the body as He desired. And verse 24 says that God composed the body. And then the main point in this is that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit determine all aspects of gifts in the church. And we as believers are individuals that merely are recipients of the gifts that are given by Him. In verse 28, it says that God appointed first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then miracles, and then gifts of healing, helps, administration, and kinds of tongues. Now, there's an order, as you can see. The first gifts were those who speak God's word. That is the foundation of the church. The word is what sets things straight. And that's what these Corinthians needed, and Paul was writing to them. It was the primary need in the church. Now, verse 29 through 30, there was a question asked, and he said, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do they all have gifts of healing? Do they speak with tongues? Do they interpret? So the answer is no. All are not apostles, all are not prophets, all are not teachers, all don't have gifts of healing, and don't speak in tongues. But there's a variety of gifts, but all are given these gifts by the Holy Spirit. So, what does it mean then? What does 31, verse 31 say? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. The Corinthian church body, Paul was saying that they should desire the greater or the higher gifts serving in their body. And that may have been referring to those first gifts that were listed, the gifts of apostles and prophets and teachers. And that refers to the whole church and not to individuals. So what then is a more excellent way that he's speaking of? And the more excellent way is to use the spiritual gifts with love to serve one another. Now then, let's go forward, because we have chapter 13 and chapter 14 to cover today. So we want to look now at chapter 13 and see what Paul is saying. I'm reading verses 1 through 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So the key word then of these verses and the key word in this chapter is love. It's the context in the context of the spiritual gifts. So how can the truths in this chapter fix divisions in the church? Verse 1 through 3 says, without love, it profits nothing. So the gifts mentioned are to an exaggerated point. But if love is missing, then even these exaggerated points that he's mentioned, that if you have all of that and you don't have love, then it profits nothing. Let's read verses 4 through 8 of chapter 13. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So these verses is a description of what love is and how that love behaves, especially it's relevant to the use of spiritual gifts that are within the body of Christ. Now let's go on and look at verses 9 through 12. Verse 9, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. But now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide in faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So, the main point that we see then, Paul taught that a point using the gifts of prophecy, tongues, and knowledge as representatives of gifts in general. That was in chapter 12. But the gifts are not forever as love is. All of these other gifts, he said, are not forever, but love is a gift that is forever. Spiritual gifts are for the proper function of the church, which will not always exist on earth. We know there will be a time that this earth will pass away, and so all of these won't be needed. At a point in the future, the church will be with the Lord in heaven. And at that time, the church will be perfect. And perfect means here, finished, that which has reached its end, its limit. It'll be complete. And the coming of the complete or perfect will do away with the partial. Knowledge and prophecy are only partial now. will be done or will be passed away means to render inactive, to be idle, to be useless. And at that time, tongues will cease along with the other gifts because there'll be no need for the gifts after the Lord comes and sets up his kingdom and the new earth is set up. So we see in this chapter that the whole chapter of 13 is speaking of love being the greatest thing that we can have, because if you have all these other gifts but you don't have love, then it's of no avail. It is wasteless. It's useless. Now let's go forward into chapter 14 and see what this chapter is about. Reading first verses 1 through 5. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So, what then do we see as the main points? He starts out with pursue love as the main thing. Without the love, remember, all of these gifts are of no avail. And verse 1 goes back to the statement that was made in chapter 12, verse 31. What the church is to desire according to spiritual gifts. We're to desire prophecy above speaking in tongues. Prophecy is a greater gift than tongues unless tongues are interpreted so that the church can understand what is being said and edified. The focus here is edifying or building up the church. One who has the gift of prophecy speaks edification or exhortation, consultation, and the church is built up. It is edified. Prophecy here is talking about speaking forth. A prophet proclaims a message from God, and it's based on his word. Tongues can mean language or an utterance. Now then, let's go on and see what the rest of this chapter is telling us, reading verses 6 through 19. But now, brethren, if I, Paul, come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching, even things without life, whether flute or harp? When they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Verse 18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. This is Paul speaking. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. So, the main point that we see here in these verses is that the church needs to understand what is being said. And he used an illustration of the flute, the harp, and the bugle. If they don't have a tone of their own, how would you know which one was being played? And he said that there are many different languages, and they all have meaning, but the one hearing the language needs to be able to understand what's being said. So again, the church is to be edified, is to be built up. And for that to take place, the church needs to understand the meaning of what's being said. Paul had the spiritual gifts of tongues, but his desire was to edify or build up the church. So he spoke the language that the people of the church understood. Now, let's finish by going into verses 20 through 33. And that's not the end, but we want to read these verses and go forward. It's a long chapter. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for believers. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there comes in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you're out of your mind? But if all prophecy and an unbeliever, uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. So, let me go ahead and finish that. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be 2 or at the most 3 each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let 2 or 3 prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you all For you all can prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So these verses then, 20 through 33, the main thing is Paul called the Corinthians to be mature and not to be children in their thinking about these gifts. His quote from the law indicates that although someone speaks in another language, it doesn't guarantee that the hearers will listen to God, because he read the scripture where from the law that God spoke, and he said that all that listen, they do not hear. And so tongues are a sign to unbelievers, and prophecy is for believers. Now, looking at verse 26 through 33, when the church is assembled, then all is done for the edification, and there were guidelines for those who speak and when they were to speak. He said that tongues require interpretation, and only two or three, and then in turn they should have not all at one time. And only two or three prophets are to speak in turn, and the others judge what's being said. So prophecies are subject to all with that gift. Now then, looking at verses 34 through 36, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home. For it is shameful for women to speak in church. Or did the word of God come originally from you? Or was it, if you only, that it reached? So, still the context in these verses are saying that if the whole church assembled, who is to speak and when they're to speak. And it mentions that women are to keep silent in these occasions. And I'm not sure what occasions that it's speaking of, unless it's speaking of the tongues and of the prophecies. Don't quote me for that, because I'm not sure that says in these occasions. And going back to the context, the occasion was speaking in turns and also prophecies that were being given. Let's look at verses 37 through 40 and see how that Paul ends this segment about spiritual gifts. Verse 37, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. So this is from the Lord. This is what Paul is saying. It's all direct from him about spiritual gifts. And he is saying that you should earnestly desire to prophesy. And this word desire here, it means it's plural, and it shows that the church is to desire the gift of prophecy within their body. And he also says, do not forbid to speak in tongues, but everything should be done properly and in an orderly manner. So here we have had 13 and 14 teaching us about spiritual gifts. And I hope that everyone has examined their own lives and their own spiritual gift that God has given, because every believer has a spiritual gift, or some have more than one. We can see in the study that we've had today. And if we have these gifts and we don't apply them, how will it edify the church? All of our spiritual gifts are to edify the church, to build it up. And if the church is built up, then God will be able to use us to glorify Him and to reach out to unbelievers that they may come to know the Lord Jesus. So let us end this study in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just can't begin to know and understand your word without the Holy Spirit leading us and directing us. But you have given the Spirit to Paul to have written this letter to the church at Corinth, and it applies to us today. And I just pray that each of us that make up the body of Christ will use your word and apply it to our lives and examine ourselves, and that what spiritual gift or gifts you have given us, that we may use it, Father, all to glorify your name. Because, Father, we all want to be obedient to your will, and we all want to bring you honor and glory. Thank you for this time that you give us to study together. And we ask it now all in the name of Jesus. Amen.